I think I have about 6 or 7 series of messages going at this time, don't I, Merrill? Biblical hermeneutics, church history, Philippians, the book of Exodus, and others that we got going. But we've been doing some lectures on church history and theology, the evolution of theology, and we're going to get into that when we get over to this point right here. It's where we're going to go to the church history chart. And we're going to start unveiling what's happened in the history of churches. The message today, this short message, is going to be on the origin and the state of evil. The origin and the state of evil. Now, I have written down, I got a stack of books here on this subject, by the way. The origin and state of evil. I'm using every Greek and Hebrew lexicon. And a shortcut here is Expository Dictionary of the New Testament by W.E. Vine. By the way, W.E. Vine was a very quiet, shy preacher that did many, many, many sermons and wrote many books, but nobody even knew he existed when he was alive. Unusual man. The same thing with Gesenius. And then another book that I'm using is A Critical Lexicon and Concordance to the English and Greek New Testament by Bullinger. And then the greatest lexicon of all, or analytical lexicon of all time, is Young's Analytical Lexicon, which is down there falling apart because I've used it so much. Many people use Strong's because it's cross-referenced, but Young's is much better than Strong's. If you ever get Young's in your hand, you will know what I'm talking about. There's also Cruden's down there also, and many others on top of that. But these are just some that I'm using today. We're going to study the subject of evil. Evil. The origin and the state of evil. The origin of evil is a very foggy, dim past. Okay? There is no such thing as evil in itself. Evil is an act. Evil does not stand alone. Now, we see in American society today, we see a tremendous amount of evil taking place, don't we? Tremendous amount of evil. But the evil that's taking place is actions of a depraved mind. Actions of a rebellious mind or rebellious character. Let's go back to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, Satan's path. As far as I can understand in the scriptures, Satan is the very first being that displayed the act of evil. Displayed the act of evil. The very first being, created being, that displayed the act or the personification of evil. He was not created evil. God did not create evil. God is not capable of creating anything evil. Now, if you go to Mary Baker Eddy, over there, or Science and Key to the Scriptures over there, if you go to a lot of the New Age things, you go into a lot of the Seventh-day Adventists, even some of this culture, even Mormonism, you go back in there and you talk about evil. And Mary Baker Eddy says evil is the lack of knowledge. Theosophy. All of these philosophies and religions all say that evil is an imagination. Sickness, disease is an imagination. If you will blank that out of your mind, evil will not exist. we have the dark and the light culture that says that evil and light or dark and lightness existed forever from eternity. That is not true. Good and evil do not coexist forever. There was a beginning of the actions of evil. The beginning. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, we've read a little bit of this before. Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Well, let's go to Ezekiel first, Ezekiel 28, because this explains it fairly well. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Now, remember, God did not create Satan. Get that. God did not create Satan. He created Hillel. Hillel. Hillel means light carrier. Now, God is not able to create reprobate. You understand that? Because if He creates reprobate, then He creates evil, doesn't He? He's not able to create Satan. He created Lucifer, Hillel, and Lucifer became Satan. Now, I know people, some people don't like to say that man has any free will at all. Angels, men, and spirits have all created with volition, freedom of will. God did not create Satan. He created Hillel, or Lucifer. In the 11th chapter, I mean the 28th chapter, in verse number 12, says, Son of man, take up of lamentation over the king of Tyre. This is a dual prophecy, a double prophecy. Here we have in Ezekiel 28 and also Isaiah 14 is a dual prophecy. Isaiah 7:14 is a dual prophecy also. There are many prophecies in the Bible that are dual. And what does dual mean? That they had a far-reaching prophecy and a present prophecy. Something was going to happen then, or something that happened way off in the future would be happening, or what happened in the past. And right now we have a prophecy, or a revelation, apocalypse. The word apocalypse means to uncover. We have a revelation that tells us how evil started in the universe, as far as I can tell. Thus saith the Lord God, you have the seal of perfection. God did not create Satan. This is talking about the king of Tyre, and it's also talking about Satan. What we're talking about right now is not the king of Tyre. It's talking about Satan. You have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan is not a guy carrying a pitchfork with horns on his head and an ugly face and claws. He was beautiful. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, how many Edens are there in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Two. Two. Did you tell your brother about that yet? The Eden in eternity past was a throne room. And it was within the realm of the material creation of God. Material. Remember, angels have form. They are what we might call closed entities. They can pass between dimensions. And we know that there are at least 10 dimensions. And mankind only lives in three-dimensional world. But there are at least 10 dimensions out there. Angels, we can't even see angels on the ground when they're doing something. How many times has God protected you didn't know about? We can say when God protects us when we know about it, but how many times did God protect us so we don't know about it? And He uses angels and spirits to do that. I've kept them busy, haven't I, Merrill? A lot in my life. They've been busy. They've been worn plumb out. They're on overtime all the time. Workman's comp. Hazardous pay, I think. You are needing the garden of God. The garden, the word God there, and Eden means delicacies. It means buying in a palace. Dainties. Royalty. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and lapis, and the azalea, and turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. Well, in other words, God designed him to be beautiful, not ugly. Now, if you go there to the life of Muhammad, and you go into the Quran, you'll find that Satan, if Muhammad actually lived and existed, Muhammad gives a history of him meeting this being. And this being carried him into heaven and gave him revelations, etc., etc., etc. He's talking about Satan. That wasn't Gabriel the angel. It wasn't a horse man being. It was Satan, if anything. On the day that you were created, you were prepared perfect. But something happened. If we have freedom of choice, if we can worship God, if we can really glorify God, you can make a puppet, you can make a robot to love you. A long time ago, there was a movie called Cherry 2000. It was filmed over here in Goldfield, Nevada. And this guy fell in, he bought him a robot. And this beautiful robot took house, made love to him, just did everything that a beautiful woman was, but the robot broke down. So we went looking for another robot. In the meanwhile, he ran into this not so pretty, but very efficient bounty hunter female. And finally, he went and found where these robots like her, this Cherry 2000 robot was, and it was over there in Goldfield, you know, that's what the thing was. And they found the robot, and he found out that he didn't love the robot anymore, but he loved the woman that really could show him affection and was what we might call a fragile vessel. She was good and bad. Every relationship has good days and bad days, doesn't it? But love means something. Have you ever had good and bad days with God? God's always stable. We're the ones that are unstable. Okay? We're the unstable entity in that. This angel here, Lucifer, he's called a cherub. You were the anointed cherub. You were the anointed cherub. Karibim. Who covers? Who protects? Satan's job was to protect every material thing in the whole universe of God. And he was perfect, wasn't he? God can't create... God being God cannot create evil. Or he would not be God, would he? How could he be pure and just and everything and create evil? That's impossible. But in his creatures, in his creation, if they follow him, it's because they have surrendered to his will. And if they don't, they have betrayed him, their creator. And they have followed their own way. Now, mothers and fathers out there, you have a very important place in God's world. A mother and father, when you bring a child in this world, you're going to supposed to teach him who God is. That's your job. The man in the family is the most, that's the head of the family, and he's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the family. Okay? So he's number one responsible. But every mother and every father in this world is supposed to teach a child what God is like. Because you're the first, what we might call, expression of God that they'll know in their lives. You come to their needs. You come to their needs as a child. As a child will be hungry, you honor them, you respect the child, you teach them to honor you. This is your job. When they do wrong, then you correct them. Okay? You correct the child. Because you're still an emissary of God showing them, this is wrong and this is right. I will reward you here. You will be corrected here. And a child should be able to trust his mother or her mother and father. If the mother hasn't and father hasn't instilled that into a child, they are total failures. And in betrayal of God's trust in bringing a child in this world. You, as a mother and fathers, are the first example of God to your children. My little girl, Dakota, was very abused by her natural mother. Terribly. And I took her to school, and they wouldn't let me leave her in kindergarten unless I stayed there with her. Because she was so messed up. So I stayed there. That was the most wonderful year of my life, I think. Those little kids, I would do things, I'd teach them things. And you know, there I taught 2 years in Taft at the school up there, and I taught 8 years at Lakeside, and then I taught 10 years of homeschooling. And these children, when they're little like that, you are the most wonderful thing because you've taught them some new revelation. You've taught them something that they didn't know. You're like God to them. You represent God revealing Himself to you. You were the anointed cherub who covers, who protects, and I placed you there. You were in the holy mountain of God. You were part of the government of God. You walked amidst the stones of fire. The throne room of God has got a diamond floor. The floor is total diamond. You know how diamond reflects beauty and everything? That diamond floor is reflecting the glory of God. He said, you were there in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until evil was found in you. Until evil was found in you. God created Adam as a replacement of Satan or Lucifer. He created another Eden, didn't he? God placed Adam in Eden, in the throne room. And then Eden, here in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we find the expression of evil come forth. Now, let me read to you some of the ideas of evil. There are, in Hebrew, it's Ra. Ra means that which is evil. That is thievery, thieving, stealing, lying, cheating, killing, betraying. That's what the word Ra means. Belial is also another word for evil. That means to practice knowingly that which is wrong, to practice it. The word kakia, kakos, kako, poneria, and follows. Let's look at some of these things. Kakos. Now, I will use kakos, kakia, and kakos. I say that's Adamic evil. That's your Adamic nature. We're just evil by nature. We became evil. We became not evil as a... because we're not evil, but we practice evil. Let's put it that way. What is morally, kakos, is what is morally or ethically evil, whether of persons. Qualities, emotions, passions, deeds. That's kakos. What is injurious and destructive and hateful and laming to other people. That's kakos. You lame somebody. You steal from them. Almost, how many of these phone calls do you get a day, Larry, on your telephone or Marilyn? All of these scam phone calls. Scamming us. That's cockles. Now the word panerios. Panerios comes from ponos, and it means to toil, it means to labor. It has a malignant nature. A malignant nature, panerios. The word prostitute is from poneria. Now, a prostitute will tell you that they're in love with you and that you're the only man in their life and all this. This is the way they act. You know, this is what they're supposed to do from the times of old. And entertain you as if she was your wife or he was your husband. They're both, you know, male and female prostitutes. They're liars. It's twisted. It means to twist the labor, to toil in wrongdoing, to toil in it, to get real good at it. That's poneria. It means to produce pain and sorrow in other people. It means wicked. Wicked actions, actually. They're talked about evil spirits, evil generations in the Bible. People that are toiling to do evil, they work at it. That's what they do for a living. Then we have the word follows.
Follows, that word right there.
Follows denotes slight, trivial, blown about by every wind. Now, children of God can be blown about by every wind of doctrine and whatever. Blown out of the pathway. I have had people tell me that you'd make my head hurt when I'm teaching. You make my head hurt. There's too much information. It's too hard. Why do I do what I do is so people will be founded in the truth and they won't go off into Mormonism, they won't go off into Islam, they're not going to go off into Catholicism or any of these cults and isms, they're not going to become a Jehovah's Witness. They will be sound, they'll know what they believe and why they believe it. This church history is, it's been a top download every class that I've ever done almost. Because people they need this. They need this. This is what will put them in on a sound and firm foundation. This word follows means worthless. And it means those who practice evil things, contrasting to that which is good. We live in a society today, especially in America today, that good is bad and bad is good. Is that true? Is evil is good and good is evil? There are standards to this. There are standards. Evil is not eternity or eternal. Evil, as far as I can tell, began with Satan. He said he's the father of all liars. He's the father of all murders. He's evil. If you go here in my, someplace around here, in all of my paperwork here, there is the Satan. Satan and his titles. He's real. What he does is real. It affects the whole world, hasn't it? His origin and former state was perfection, and he became evil, didn't he? He rebelled, and he fell from the grace of God and became Satan. Satan means one who opposes. The work of Satan. His name is Satan. That comes from the Hebrew. He's called the prince and the power of the air. He's called Diabolos, means the destroyer. Diabolos, dia and balos. That's a Greek word. That means to run you through. He's called the dragon. A dragon is a powerful supernatural creature. When Aaron threw his rod down in the palace of Pharaoh, it became a dragon, not a serpent. A dragon. When Jannes and Jambres threw their staffs down in the presence of Pharaoh, their miraculously, by the power of Satan, their rods became dragons. And it says God's rod, his dragon, ate up their dragons. He's called the anointed cherub in Ezekiel 28. He's called Hallel. He's called Lucifer. He is the murderer and the beginning of all murderers. He's called the wicked one. He's called a thief. He's called a roaring lion. He's called a liar. He's called a Leviathan. He's called the angel of light. And he's also called Beelzebub and Belial.
Belial,
the evil one. By divine grace, we come to know God and we love Him because we have a volition. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and verse number 1, Vihanash Haya Arum Mikal Chaya Hasada Asher Asa Hadavar Elohim Wayomer El Hayishash Af Ki Amar Elohim Lo Tachila Mikal Etz Hagan. This is a revelation in Genesis 3 and 1. Wihahanash, and the serpent, Haya, he became Arum, he became evil. The serpent had a choice. The serpent was created beautiful. He's the king of all the beasts. But now he chooses to become Arum. And he's more evil, it says, Mikal, from all the other beasts, all the other living beings of the field, the Hasadah, which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, is it true, he said, Amer Elohim lo tachila, you shall not keep on eating from every tree of the garden. Hagden, Hagan, the garden. In that garden, the Bible says that there was a tree that had the knowledge of good and evil in it, did it not? Satan tempted the woman. Now the man was supposed to be guarding the woman. He wasn't doing his job. The woman was approached by this snake, this Hanas, because man was not taking care of his job. So we have God told Adam to guard the garden. To guard the garden from what? From all evil. And he allowed evil to come in the garden. And remember, evil is not, it has no state of its own. It is only portrayed by actions of individuals that have volition. And Satan had volition, the woman had volition, and the man had volition. And they allowed evil to come into their world. And the world was a world of absolute delight and beauty and true and reality. They had, God had provided everything that they needed. And in your life today, God provides everything that you need. He does. What we have in the world, if you go overseas right now, in those Muslim worlds, it's against the law to be a Christian. Christians there are starving to death. But they choose to starve to death because they know Christ. Volition. Some of the missionaries that are in Afghanistan don't want to leave. they know that if they stay there, that they will be killed. Now, I would leave and I'd go someplace else and let them listen to me preach. That's what I'd do. But they believe that God has called them there, and if they're going to die on the field, that God called them to die there. That's volition, isn't it? If you serve God with your heart and your soul, it is because of your volition. Because God gives you that freedom. And He gave you the price of salvation, which is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. My Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify You and to help people understand the state of evil, what it is and what it is not. Evil has no power of its own. It is by our choices that we do these things. Father, please use the message to honor and glorify You in every way. Please forgive me where I've